Let us open our Bible to John chapter 9, verse 4. Thank God that last night you gave me water, and also now, because normally when I speak, I feel drier when I'm in the middle of my message. John chapter 9, verse 4. You know, I woke up around 5:30 in the morning, and when I woke up, I was just surprised, because you know, when you woke up, you see, you haven't, it seems that you woke up, but still you are sleeping, you see. So when I woke up, I was surprised, how come, very heavy. Then I remembered, at 2 o'clock in the morning, it was very cold, so I pulled out all the blanket and put you see, so 4 blankets, so that's why when I woke up, it's very heavy. Thank God, because I wanted to wake up at 4 because I want to study, but cannot, very cold. But thank God, with the grace of God, I believe He will see me through to glorify His name. Let us close our eyes and ask God's blessings. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives. Many times we are unfaithful to you, but thank you that you remain to be faithful to us. Lord, thank you that you have seen us in our activity last night. Thank you, Lord, for the Bethel BP Church in Melbourne. That in this church, not just the adults, but also the youth could find spiritual shelter in this church. I pray that you would bless the youth ministry of this church. And I pray, Lord, that in this group, if you will, I pray that you would call some to be pastors. You would call some to be Bible women to lead the church. Oh, Lord, there is nothing impossible with thee. I pray that as we spend the camp here, you will give us understanding, you protect us, and I pray that everything we do here will be pleasing unto thee. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning, be with me, because without you I am nothing. And I pray also that you would use the message this morning to encourage the hearts of the youth, that they would be inspired and encouraged to serve you, because you are a God who saved us from our sins. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll read to you chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. I'll read. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man, or his parents, or he was born blind? That he was born blind. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Based on this passage, our theme for tonight, theme for this morning is that we must work the works of God. We can't deny the fact that we are all born sinners. Thus, all we need to do to go to hell is nothing. No need to do something in order to go to hell. All of us, because we are born sinners, without the grace of God, all of us are heading towards hell. But because of God's love towards you and me, towards all of us, He sent His begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life on earth and finally died in the cross in our behalf. So when we ask forgiveness of our sins, we can cross over from hell to heaven, from eternal death to eternal life. But God's plan of salvation is not just to snatch us out from hell. It's more than that. God wants us to be the trophy of His grace, to be the trophy of His faithfulness, so that when unbelievers look at us, they could see Jesus Christ in our lives. Then from there, unbelievers will be attracted to come to Jesus. Then they will be able to have a personal relationship with Jesus too. In other words, we are saved to serve. This is a very important thing that you would realize, that the call of salvation is always a call to service. In fact, Jesus told His disciples, "Follow me." Then He said, "What? I will make you fishers of men." And this truth could be found in our text this morning. A very important principle in Bible interpretation is that you must know the context of the Bible. You must know the flow of the story of the text that we are studying. It will prevent you from making errors. So now we are looking at chapter 9, isn't it? I think it's good to look at chapter 8, verse 56 down, so that we will know the flow of the story or the context. I'll read to you verse 56. Jesus says here, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad." Jesus told the Jews that even your father Abraham was saved because of me. They haven't seen me yet because I was not born yet, but by faith they saw Jesus. And the Jews was amazed. How can that be? Look at verse 57. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Verse 58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is telling here about his eternality. And you know, the Jews were not happy. Look at verse 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." So this is the context of chapter 9. In the last part of chapter 8, he told the Jews that before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews couldn't accept the truth, and the Jews wanted to stone him. So he went out from the temple. And here comes chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. This is very good, so that you could have a good understanding as we go through our text this morning. Verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." And you know, when Jesus was walking, and also the disciples saw the blind man, the disciples have a very quick thinking in their mind, and they asked Jesus, "Jesus, you see, you saw also this one, man, this man is blind. Who sinned? The father, the parents of this man, or this man? That's why he was blind." Jesus answered, "No. He was blind right now. He's blind right now, not because of the sin of his parents, neither because of his sin, but it's because it's the plan of God that the power of God, the glory of God will be shown through It will be shown in this man and through the life of that man. So verse 4, which is our text this morning, is closely connected to verse 3. Jesus said, "He is blind because so that the works of God will be manifested here." Yes, the reason why this man was blind from birth is that the works of God should be manifested in his life. But the question is, who will initiate the work of God in the life of this man? The answer is in the beginning of verse 4. I must, what? Work. Jesus Christ would initiate the work of God in the life of this man so that the glory of God will be revealed in him and through him. The word "must" here means it is necessary, it is inevitable that Jesus must do something for this man. So here we could see the necessity of Christian service. The necessity of Christian service. I must work. The word must here tells us that Jesus had a divine appointment from the Father that he must do something to this man. Jesus Christ is like an arrow that hits to the target of the Father. The master passion of Jesus Christ is to fulfill the will of the Father in his life. And when Jesus said, I must work the works of him, Jesus is also inviting us to cooperate with him to do the works of God. Because as a disciple, as a passengers of the discipleship, we must follow Jesus. So when Jesus was saying, I must work the works of God, he is inviting us also to work with him, with the works of God. In fact, when we read this, we can use this, we can read in this way, we must work the works of God. The moment we enter into the discipleship, we must be serving the Almighty God. Can we open for a while Acts chapter 9? I want to show you something. Acts chapter 9 is a story of Paul. It's an account of the conversion of Paul. You know, Paul was very active, very zealous before he became a Christian. The moment Paul knew that you are a Christian, Paul is not happy with you, and he would try himself to persecute you and even bring you to prison. That's how zealous Paul was. And he thought that bringing Christian to prison would please God. He was zealous but ignorant of the word of God. And, you know, God revealed himself to Paul while Paul was walking in the road of Damascus. And when Paul met Jesus Christ living and real in his life, Paul asked something. I will start to read verse 4. Chapter 9, verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Please take note of this question. The moment Paul saw Jesus living and real in his life, the moment he had a personal encounter with Jesus, he asked this question, Lord, what do you want me to do? If you really love God, if you are really a genuine passenger of the discipleship, you cannot help yourself but serve God. We are called to serve. There is a necessity of Christian service. But it's sad to say, not all Christians understand this truth. To be fair, even in your church, last November and December, I was here. To be fair, there are so many people in this church, in your church, who are serving the Lord, actively serving the Lord. I saw it in my eyes. Not just in your church, even in other churches, there are also another group of people. There are people who come early every Sunday. Wow, very spiritual. There are also people who come very early on Sunday, not just on Sunday, even in prayer meeting. But as far as Christian service is concerned, it's the farthest thing in their mind. They don't like to serve the Lord. They just want to go to church. They just want to pray. But as far as service is concerned, oh no, I have no time to serve God. There are also people who are very active to serve the Lord in special occasion. What? Youth camp? I want to serve God. I want to arrange the chairs. I want to wash the plates. I want to do some committee of the youth camp. Active in special activity. Active in a special occasion. When this special activity or occasional activity ends up, they went back inactive. that is not right. You know why? The verb here, work, is in the present tense. Allow me to talk a bit about tenses. No, you know, in English, when you talk of tenses, it talks about time, isn't it, right? You have a good English than me. It's about time. When you talk of past tense, meaning the action was done in the past, you see? And it's present tense, like now I'm preaching, I'm doing the action right now. But in Greek, it's different. When it's past tense, it's not talking about time. It's talking about the kind of action. When it's past tense, meaning there's a point. You do this action, pack. After that, no more. That is past tense. Just a point. That's past tense. But when present tense, it's a line. Straight line. If not a straight line, a dots of line. That's present tense. So here, when Jesus said, I must work, he's not just saying, I will cure this man, I will cause this blind man to see, and after that, I will no longer work. No, Jesus said, I must work and continue to work. That is the emphasis here. Whether there is a special activity or not, whether there is a church camp or not, you must be continuously, what? Serving the Lord. It's a straight line. It's just like a plane. You see, first, of course, I'm very sure the pilot would on the engine, right? Then it's time to take off. The plane will take off. You see? After the plane have a nice takeoff, what will the pilot do? Off the engine, right? No, if the pilot would off the engine, surely the plane will crash. So the engine keeps on functioning until it arrives to the destination. That's the emphasis of the word work here. The moment you are saved by the grace of God, we must be serving. Serving until our last breath or until Jesus comes. Good, we are not airplanes, right? Because if we are airplanes, we got crashed already. When you enter in to the discipleship, you are not to spend holiday, no? You should not keep on sleeping in the discipleship. You must keep on working. You must keep on serving God. We are all passengers, isn't it? Ask yourself, am I serving the Lord? We are saved to serve. Now, we have seen that there is a necessity of Christian service. And now, we will see the secret of Christian service. When I am very careful, when I use the word secret here, it doesn't mean that Christianity is a secret, no. But there is a very important lesson here as far as Christian service is concerned. Let's go back to John chapter 9, verse 4. There is a necessity of service. Jesus said, I must. The word must here. Don't forget that. Must. Work. Necessity. It is necessary. It is inevitable. I must work. What? The works of him that sent me. Yes, Jesus had to do a work in his life. But you see, Jesus, as far as service is concerned, Jesus did not work what he wanted to do. Jesus did not work what he liked to do. Jesus worked according to what God the Father wanted him to do. You see the phrase here? I must work the works of him that sent me. The phrase here, the works of him that sent me, is a phrase that describes back the word work. What kind of work? The works of God. So spiritual service, Christian service, is not what you wanted to do. Remember this. Christian service is doing what God the Father wants you to do, dependent upon his direction. I pray that after this camp, you will learn to pray, Lord, teach me what to do. What you want me to do, Lord? Than telling, Lord,
I want to do this. I want to serve the youth. And this is what I wanted. I wanted this one. Lord, I want to serve in Bethel Church. I want this one. That's nonsense. That's unbiblical. Jesus Christ said, I must work. It is necessary to work. I must work. I have no choice. But I must work what? The works of Him that sent me. This is very important. Let us take the case of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. You know, Paul and Silas, in the second missionary of journey, second missionary of Paul's journey, at first their intention is to go to Asia. So while they were moving, let's say for example, this is Asia Minor. They want to go to Asia Minor. The direction is to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit continues to hinder them. It seems that God the Father doesn't want them to go to Asia. But they didn't stop. They just keep on moving. Later, Paul heard or received the call from God, which we call it Macedonian call, that God wanted him to go to Europe. As far as Paul and Silas is concerned, their first direction was to go to Asia. But the Holy Spirit hindered them. And later, they realized that God's intention, God's direction was to go to Europe. There was a humor, no? I said, why is it that God doesn't want the gospel to be first spread in Asia and God wants it to Europe? There's a humor. Like, you know, when the Europeans see a beautiful mountain, wonderful. When the Europeans discover or see this mountain, the mind of the European said, I will develop this mountain. I will develop this. I will make beautiful infrastructure, nice buildings so that people could visit this mountain. That is the mindset of the Europeans. When Asians see the mountain, wow, this is a nice mountain. I will buy this mountain. That's why the gospel, in a humorous way, if it was in Asia at first, maybe the gospel will not spread wide. That's God. As far as God is concerned, the direction of God that leads Silas and Paul was to go to Europe. As far as need is concerned, the need of the gospel of Europe and Asia is equal. The people in Asia need the gospel. The people in Europe needs the gospel. But the issue here is not the need. The issue here is God's direction. What God wanted Paul and Silas to do at that point of time. Divine guidance and divine initiation are very important for spiritual service. We must work what? The words of God. One of the reasons for effective service is you are doing what God wants you to do. You are in the place where God wants you to do. As I told you last November and the same December, I was here. And as I observe your church, I have identified needs in the church. When I was here, I went with the ministry in the old folks' home, right? There in Oakley, right? I see the need. In fact, at that time, people wanted to come to the church, but there was no transportation. I see the need of your pulpit ministry. That's why I want to tell you very frankly, I pray that some of you here will commit your life to the Lord. Reverend Stephen Koo is already getting old. Who will take the pulpit? Do you have to put in the advertisement in the newspaper? Bethel BP Church, one pastor, wanted pastor. Soon your church will be destroyed. You don't know who is that man. Serving the Lord is a privilege. Not just pastor, ladies, commit your life to the Lord. You are not working just a boss in the company, you know. You are working and your boss is who? God. And God is the best paymaster. Because we are so in love with this world, we don't like to serve God. Yes, as far as your church is concerned, need is not the issue. The question is, are you willing to serve God? Then, when you identify the needs, the youth ministry have a need, the pulpit ministry have a need, there are so many needs, need of evangelism. Do not jump immediately to the need. Based on our verse, what is the first thing we do? We pray, Lord, which area you want me to serve? Remember, as far as Christian service is concerned, it must start with what? God. If God calls some of you here to study and serve Him full-time, please be sensitive to His calling and obey it. You cannot run away from God's calling. I want to give you an illustration. Let's say, for example, I have a string. See, yeah? Look at my hand so that you will know. A string, as like this, the length is like this one. Then, at this end, I will tie a stone. A stone here, I will tie. Then, I will hold at this side, and I will swing, right? The string and the stone is right here. Could the stone run away from me very far? No. Why? Because the stone is being tied to the string. You see? If it's really God's will for you to serve God, you cannot run away from God. Better obey God. Be sensitive to God's calling. Allow me to share to you a testimony of a Korean pastor. While he was young, because his father is a pastor, while he was young, he already sensed that God is calling him to be a pastor. And he said, when he was young, I want to become a pastor! I want to become a pastor! But when he was in the university, he was attracted by the world. And he said, I don't want to become a pastor. I don't want to become a pastor. Then God's call continues to convict his heart. Be a pastor. Be a pastor. He didn't want to become a pastor. He wanted to rebel God's calling in his life. He got married. You know what happened? 3 days after the wedding, that pastor became blind. Just imagine. He became blind. I think as far as his sight is concerned, his eyes is concerned, her wife is very beautiful, you see? Because if you have a wife, of course it will be very beautiful for you, right? But he couldn't see already his beautiful wife because he became blind. And you know what's the sad thing? The parents told her, you leave your husband. He is already blind. He is useless. For the first month, the wife resisted the words of the parents. No. I love him. We just get married and I had a vow in the presence of God. I couldn't leave him. After 2 months, the wife left the husband. He was alone, blind. He went to the streets and you know, he doesn't know where to go because he was blind. Nobody was leading him. One time, there was a man who led him. To make the story short, this blind man ended up to a Bible college of the blind people. He started there to be a pastor. And he finished his course. He became a pastor. And right now, his congregation grew. The Lord bless him. And right now, still, there is a congregation in Korea and the pastor is blind. You cannot run away from God's call. When you are working inside the will of God, when you are in the place where God wants you to be, for sure, God's cooperative will is with you. Jesus set an example here for successful Christian service. You must work what? The work of God. And you must be dependent upon the guidance of God. At the same time, dependent on the power of God. And this is also repeated to us by Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You know, some of the people misunderstood this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Let's say, for example, you are a man who could just carry 100 kilos. You see, 100 kilos you carry. Then you read this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. 200 kilos? Okay, I will carry. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I cannot. This verse is not true. No, you misinterpreted wrongly. What does this mean? It's this. If there are things that God wants you to do, surely it will come to pass. Surely God will enable you. Because all things that He wanted you to do, He will enable you through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, we seek God's guidance in spiritual service, but it doesn't end in here. You seek God's guidance, but at the same time, what? You seek God's enabling power. You keep on praying. You keep on praying. God will enable you to do the things that He wanted you to do. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, without me, what? You can do nothing. There was a man who is a performer of a piano. There was a piano concert, so to say. As he was playing piano, he was disappointed because he noticed that the audience doesn't like the way he played the piano. Just imagine you are playing a concert, piano concert, and it's always in the middle of the concerts. Nobody was like happy of the way you perform. He was very disappointed in his heart. So he decided to stop the concert for a while. He closed the curtain. Then he asked his son, "Son, you sit here in the piano. What will I do? That just sit and just try to pretend that you are touching the keyboard of the piano." Then at the back, he hid at the back and he had a piano there and he played also the piano. So when the curtain opened, what the people saw was not him, his son sitting on the piano. And there he was hiding. He played his best, you know, his masterpiece. He played his masterpiece. When he started to play his masterpiece, and as he continues to go on, the people thought that his young son was playing the masterpiece. People stood and they were clapping. They were clapping their hands. At the end of the play, he opened and he stood up. Then the people realized that it was not his son playing, it was him. And all the more people were clapping. You see, divine cooperation is very important. You work. At the same time, you are dependent on God's power to enable you. So as far as Christian service is concerned, the first thing you do is that you work the work of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? You pray. And the moment you are very sure that this is the ministry that God wants me to do, the moment you are very certain for sure that this is what the Lord wants me to do, continue to pray. Do not stop there. There are people who said, Lord, show me where you wanted me to do. Then the moment, yes, this is the Lord want me to do, then you become less prayerful. That's not enough. After you are very sure this is the ministry that God wants me to do, continue to pray, and the Lord will enable you. And the unseen hands of God will support you, like the father who was hiding at the back of his son playing the piano. Do the work that God wants you to do. At the same time, be totally dependent on the power of God. We have seen the necessity of Christian service. We have seen the secret of Christian service. Now we will see the manner of Christian service. When you go back, you continue to read chapter 9. You see? Continue to read chapter 9. It's up to verse 41. And here, the story is revealed to us how Jesus, the detail, right? The details, how Jesus healed the blind man. You read this one. Before going further, I want to tell you something which is relevant to your theme. You know, the goal of Christian service is not just bringing people to church, no? It is also leading people to follow Christ. In other words, evangelism is not complete without discipleship. Both of them must work hand in hand. Could you imagine a mother after 9 months of pregnancy? You see, the mother carry the child in the womb 9 months, you see? Oh, it's about 9 months, the mother will go to the hospital labor. You see? Sometimes cry. Painful. Then
after the mother gave birth to the child, the mother would prepare a very expensive milk and said, "Son, for 9 months I have been carrying you, and the labor is very painful, so this is the milk for you. Bye-bye, son. See you when you become 20 years old. I will see you in Bethel BP Church." It sounds ridiculous, isn't it? No, you have to take care of the child. Yes, for 9 months you carry, you labor. Until that, still you carry the child. If there is a mosquito, how come there's mosquito, you see? Until it grows up. The illustration that I'm showing you looks ridiculous. But many times we are like this, right? We invite people. You come to Bethel. You come, please. You come. I'm praying for you. You come. Then the people come to Bethel. Hi, hello, hi. Second week, hi, hello. Then later, you just leave the person there. You see? You are like a mother carrying for 9 months. Come, come. Then after that, okay, go your way. No. It's not like that. We often lead people to church, but we fail to lead people to follow Christ. Sometimes we are very active in evangelism, but we are very poor in making disciples. We made casual converts, but we failed to make committed Christians. Somewhere, somehow, we forgot that evangelism includes discipleship. And this truth can be seen in our text this morning. The manner of discipleship, the manner of Christian service. Now, I want you to remember what I told you earlier. Before chapter 9, what happened? The Jews wanted to stone Jesus. That's why Jesus went out from the temple, because it was not his time yet to die. And while he was walking, he saw a blind man. Take note, when he saw the blind man, people wanted to kill him. But Jesus stopped and ministered the blind man, though there were people who was running after his life. He stopped. You know why? He could not pass by. He just could not leave the man without ministering the needs of man, because there was a thread, there was a cord that holds him. And that thread or cord that holds him is the divine love of Jesus towards the man. The heart of Jesus at the time, while he saw the man who was blind from birth, the heart of Jesus is like a volcano that is about to erupt. Of course, from the heart of Jesus, it will not throw lava, no? But it will throw what? Love, compassion to the people who is in need. His heart beats high with a desire to help the blind man. Here we could see that there was a demonstration of love. The first side of the manner of Christian service is that there must be what? A demonstration of love. When we demonstrate our love to people who are in need, it opens the door for us to minister the spiritual need. And Jesus, as far as Jesus is concerned, if you read through the gospel, there are many situations like this. Did you remember when Jesus went to Bethesda? He saw a paralytic man for 38 years waiting for the water to move, you see? First, he said, "You stand and walk." Then the man walked. First, he demonstrated his love to the man. And we don't know how many days after, how many weeks after, how many hours after, he met the man again. And there, he ministered to the spiritual need of the person. A demonstration of God's love in our hearts is vital in Christian service. There was a pastor who met a friend, and then he kept on evangelizing the friend. It was around a year. He kept on telling the gospel. And you know what? That friend of his never received the gospel. Very hard. It's a heart of stone. And then this friend of his faced financial difficulties. So
his friend was forced to leave because of the situation. His friend decided to live for 1 month in the house of the pastor. So this pastor, for 1 year, had been sharing the gospel. But this man said, no, I don't want to be a Christian. No, I don't believe. But because of difficulties in life, I believe it's the providential hand of God, this man was allowed by God to stay 1 month in the house of the pastor. While he was staying there, this man did not only believe, did not only see the love of God in the life of the pastor, but he also experienced and tasted the love of God that is being manifested in the house of the pastor. And then, there, he believed. Demonstration of God's love in our life is very important. One of the reasons a Christian wife cannot win his unbelieving husband, or a Christian husband could not win his unbelieving wife, is that we fail to demonstrate Christian love. The reason why a manager, a boss, cannot win his colleague is that he failed to demonstrate God's love in his life. Love prepares the heart and paves the way for an appeal with truth. Yes, in doing the Lord's work, we had to demonstrate the love of God in our hearts. However, it doesn't end here. Look at verse 35 and 38. I'll read to you verse 35. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Here, Jesus Christ declared the truth that he is the Messiah. So friends, here we have seen the two aspects of the manner of Christian service. First, what we are going to do, we need what? To demonstrate the love of Christ. At the same time, we need to declare the truth. This is very important. Yes, there are many people who got saved because of the demonstration they have seen and tasted. The demonstration of God's love. But I tell you, there are also many people who are saved without seeing and without having tasted the demonstration of God's love. But nobody will be saved without the declaration of truth. We must declare the truth. The book of Romans says, faith cometh from hearing. What? Hearing from? The Word of God. You read this when you go to your room. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. Hearing, faith cometh from hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So friends, if we are a man, a person, a Christian who likes to demonstrate the love of God, then we are very fearful to declare the truth. We are just like a man who is very tall, basketball player. Very tall. Instead of staying near to the net to get the rebound and to do the slam dunking, because you are very tall, you want to stay out. Please give me the ball. I want to shoot 3 points. Your height is useless. So take note of this. When you demonstrate the love of God, there's another side of it that you must do. You must declare the truth. You must tell them about Jesus. So friends, we have seen the necessity of the gospel, the necessity of Christian service, the secret of Christian service, and the manner of Christian service. Lastly, I want to share to you the urgency of Christian service. Look at the last part of verse 4, chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. What is the next phrase? While it is day, the night cometh that no man can work. You see, the reason why we keep on serving, is because time will come, when the night will come, we can no longer work and serve for the Lord. In other words, time will come that we could no longer demonstrate the love of God. Time will come that we could no longer declare the truth of God's love to the world. Time will come that the world have no longer opportunity to taste the love of God, had no longer opportunity to hear and the declaration of God's word. That's why, my dear friends, there is an urgency for Christian service. Therefore, we must use our time wisely and our talent zealously. Let us open to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. I'll read to you. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. I'll read. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know this word, circumspectly? This is very interesting word. This is a military word. Just like you go to the battle, right? You go to the battle, you're bringing your gun, right? Then you have to walk, right? You look at your right, you look at your left, then you see, you will shoot the enemy, right? It's a nonsense thing when you go to the battle, you bring your gun, then you walk as if you are in the street of the city of Melbourne. You just walk. You will surely die. So this is the word here. Walk circumspectly. Like a military bringing your gun. You see? Why? Because the days are evil. Redeem the time. And the word redeem here is just like, it's a word used to buy what? A slave. Because, my dear friends, as human as you are, our time here on earth, normally, it's a slave to do things that are sinful. That's why we must redeem the time. Make it your free time. Make it to serve the Lord. I was reading a book and I try to read this to you. There's a book that says, each week brings 168 hours. We spend approximately 28 hours for eating and drinking and personal duties. We spend 40 to 50 hours making a living. We have left 30 to 40 hours to spend as we wish. So what are we going to do for this 30, 40 hours? That's why Paul said, redeem the time. Because the world uses this time to spend worldly things, worldly enjoyment. We Christians, we must what? Redeem the time. Because time come, when the night come, we could no longer serve the Lord. As closing, my dear friends, I want you to tell a short testimony. When I said short, it's really short. Huh? You know, I am a favorite son of my mother. I'm the youngest in the family. And I told you for 18 years, I was living in sin. And by the grace of God, God used my life that my parents will be able to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they saw my chains and they went to the church with me. While I was in Singapore, I missed them and I continued to pray for them. And when I was in Singapore, every year I am given the chance to go back to my home. So I have a very, you know, we are living just, you know, in a very little budget, but I save, keep on saving. When I went home, I bought a nice watch for my mother, a nice watch also for my father, and I save cash. So when I arrive home after 1 year, just imagine, for 18 years, I'm giving problem, headache to my parents. When I arrive after 1 year in Singapore studying, the first thing I give is the cash. My mother was very happy. The next thing I give is the watch, you see, wristwatch. Then I give also to my father wristwatch. You know, my mother, as I noticed, my mother want to open the door of my house and like to tell, hey, my son is giving me money, my son is giving me watch. She was very happy. Second year, I went back to Singapore and I saved money. I want to give my mother more because I want to pay back. You know what happened? Almost in the finals, I was studying for the finals, I received a call that my father was serious in the hospital. And my sister told me, just prepare yourself. Maybe the next time we call you, our father is dead already. After a week, the final is about to start, I receive a call. When I receive the call, I don't like to pick up the phone. My father died already. When I picked the phone, I realized that my mother also is dying. Because, you know, my mother was watching my father, and he couldn't take it because they were very close. Wherever my father goes, my mother is already there. My mother was affected. So I decided to went home. When I arrived home, my brother told me that my mother is dead. So when I arrived home, I see the coffin of my mother, and I went up.
I saw my father dying. Friends, every time I go back to Singapore, I love to buy things for my parents. I want to buy nicer restaurants. I want to save more to give to my parents. But you know what? I have no longer the privilege of giving them because they are no longer there. I want to. Of course, in a personal application, love your parents while they are still alive. As far as our text is concerned, serve God while we still have the privilege to serve God. Time cometh, the night comes, that you could no longer serve the Lord. I want to serve God, but you are already in hell. You remember the rich young man with Lazarus, right? The rich young man in hell becomes very prayerful, becomes very evangelistic. No more chance. Now you are in your youth, right? Youth camp, not an old camp, old people's camp. No, youth camp. You have your vigor, you have your strength. Use your strength to serve the Lord. It's very sad. My strength in my youth was all just wasted. I used it for addiction. And I could not undo what I did. The only thing I could do today is to tell you, please, use your strength, vigor for the Lord's work. Still, it is day, right? Still day. The night cometh. No one. I hope you will wake up. I hope that you will be interested to serve God. Friends, at this point of time, we learn there is a necessity of Christian service, right? The world must. There is a secret of Christian service. We must do what God wanted us to do, not what we wanted to do. At the same time, we must be dependent upon God's power. That is the secret of Christian service. The mode of Christian service, we must demonstrate love. At the same time, we must not forget what? To declare the truth. Demonstrating God's love without declaring the truth is useless. You are like a very tall person and you stay outside in the basketball court. There is an urgency to serve because our opportunity to serve God, soon it will come to an end. Use your talent. Use your strength and vigor to serve the Lord while you are a youth, while you are in your day. I hope that this lesson tonight, you will treasure it in your heart. Apply it, I pray. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the precious lessons that you have learned to us, that you have taught us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have given the youth the focus to hear the message. I pray, Lord, that what they have learned and heard today, they would keep it in their hearts, that they could use it as they continue to walk with thee. Oh, Lord, bless our time together here. As a preacher, what I can do is just to speak and teach them. I have no power to convict their hearts. Oh, Lord, use the message today to convict the heart of the youth, that after this camp, they would be serving you until the end. Because time cometh, the night come, that we could no longer serve you. Bless the youth, you Lord. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.